So this is our response to this first group, which opposes Islamic unity based on lack of understanding. They just don't understand the phenomena. They may turn around and they say, well, you have said all this. Yes, we never understood it before. Now we understand it. So what exactly is Islamic unity? The same group, the third group that we're talking about. They would question, then what is Islamic unity? We're going to pray our own ways. We're going to fast our own ways. We're going to do Islamic charity in our own ways. So what are we uniting on, right? Well, to them, we say that first, feel compassionate and affectionate towards other Muslims, despite the differences. This is important, brothers and sisters. We acknowledge the differences that exist between Shias and Sunnis, the two schools of thoughts. Nobody's saying to not care about those differences. Despite the differences, feel compassionate and affectionate towards the other school of thought. The second point is strengthen and highlight the commonalities between Shias and Sunnis. I can assure you, if amongst this entire crowd, if I were to ask that one of you stand up, any one of you, and start laying out the differences between the two schools of thoughts, you would run out of the items. But if I ask you to list and detail the commonalities between the two schools of thoughts, each one of you can speak for 15 minutes. From Salah to Hajj to believing in one God, Tawheed, Nubuwwah, believing in the hereafter, Amal Saleh, so many things from fiqh and otherwise. Similarly, when we look at historic accounts, there's a lot of history that is common between the two schools of thoughts. There are a lot of beliefs, at least at the superficial level, they're common between the two schools of thoughts. These are the commonalities that need to be highlighted. This is what the world of Islam needs today. But if you notice, there are some who are hell-bent on finding the differences, even the minutest of differences, between the two schools of thoughts. Especially in today's time and age when we see social media. How many people do you know of who talk about the commonalities between the two schools of thoughts? But if I were to ask you how many people you know of on social media who talk about the differences between Shias and Sunnis, you would start giving me names. Isn't that true? Why is it that this environment is being created? It's being orchestrated. When we have, let's say, on superficial level, surface level, 90% of commonalities, why in the world nobody wants to talk about the commonalities on social media? And let's say we have 10-15% of differences and everybody wants to just cling on to these differences. Why? Do you think it's a coincidence? There's a plan behind the scenes. The third thing, making sure that the sanctities of each other are protected and they're not insulted, they're not attacked. This is what Islamic unity calls for. So fine, I don't agree with a person that is revered by my Sunni brothers. What logical sense is there for me to go in his face and start insulting that figure of theirs? It's just insanity. You really don't like some of the historic figures and their followers? But where were you when Daesh attacked the shrine of Hazrat Zainab salamullah alayha? I'm asking these sectarian-minded people. You really wanted to take up a fight, right? Where were you to defend the sanctities of Islam when they were being attacked? Where were you when the shrine of Imam Hussain alayhi salam was attacked? They were 20 kilometers away from Karbala. Where were you? All these sectarian-minded people who were hell-bent on highlighting the differences between the two sects. Nowhere to be found. Guess what? Who defended the sanctities of Islam at that time? Same people who call for Islamic unity. This is essential, important for us to realize what's going on around us. The fourth point is the academic differences, which we do agree and we do acknowledge that they exist. These differences between Shias and Sunni, they need to be addressed in academic settings, not among general public. What does general public know about the sahat of a riwayah? So you can come up with any statement and say it's a hadith of Prophet. An average person who's not a Huzabi, who doesn't know anything about Ilm-e-Rijal, Ilm-e-Dirayah, Ilm-e-Hadith, what do we expect from them? They just take that hadith and start believing in it, right? You want to discuss these differences? Good. Do it in the academic settings. The Shia and Sunni scholarship should sit down. And they do sit down, by the way, wherever they get an opportunity, to iron out these differences. Not everything is solvable, as you will see. Ayatollah Sistani, he said this, and I will show you the statement that he made. Not everything is solvable. Some differences are going to stay. And we know that. It's been centuries these differences have been around for. But you never see sectarianism being pushed like the way it is pushed today. Hence, we are in much more need of Islamic unity than ever before. To make a conscious effort, and this is for every single one of us, Muballigh, non-Muballigh, Huzavi, non-Huzavi, make a conscious effort to reduce the sectarian tension among the Muslims. Because there are those powers who are pushing for their sectarian agenda through sometimes people who are not very wise. They live in our ranks, unfortunately, but they're not very intelligent people. They don't have the basira and the foresight and the insight. They get used at the hands of these imperialist powers. The enemies of Islam, they are pushing for the sectarian agenda in different forms and shapes. And then you see, these people, they go onto these social media, they create their profiles, they start talking about things that are going to instigate your emotions. They're instigating your emotions and Sunni's emotions. Inevitably, by saying things, a conscious effort has to be made against such elements in the societies. Not just in Shia community, in Sunni community as well.